Today on Real Radio.
Isn't that funny how that happens? You're blessed up on the hill, you come down and the house is blown up or burned down. Or if you're coming from a men's retreat or a woman's retreat, you get home and your spouse is like, don't you know what's been going on for all weekend? And it's like, major quench. Man, Peter's riding high. He just saw the Holy Spirit poured out on Gentiles. He's freaking out. He's coming back.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're looking at the first 18 verses of chapter 11. The gospel of Israel's Messiah had come to the Gentiles, a result of Peter's dream where he had visions of unclean animals. Well, as you might expect, it certainly received opposition by those of the circumcision, as the text reads. We also learn what happened after Peter's explanation, and it may not be what you think. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Spirit-Filled Gentile Church.
This is an exciting chapter. First of all, I need to tell you that I don't know where you're at in your understanding of the person of the Holy Spirit, and it really depends on where you've been brought up spiritually and how much attention they gave to the teaching of the Word of God, the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. But for many of us this morning, this is ground that we have been over really time and time again. And yet, as I got into this study, I got so excited and pumped up to realize that the Holy Spirit is the very one in our lives for the believer and His dwelling upon us for use in this world that so revolutionizes our lives and the people around us, and it is the Holy Spirit. And so the title of the message this morning is The Spirit-Filled Gentile Church. And in Acts chapter 11, this is an exciting chapter. You're going to want to have your pen ready for this. It's really divided into three sections throughout the entire chapter. And in chapters 1 to 18, we'll cover this morning, we see that the Gentiles are accepted into the church of Jesus Christ. And then in Acts 19 to 26, the verses of Acts 11, it is the Gentiles are encouraged as they've entered the church. And then in Acts 11, verses 27 to 30, we see that the Gentiles literally become ministers of the gospel in a lot of practical ways. And this is a fun chapter. I want you to, by way of introduction, and we're going to have maybe a lengthy introduction, we'll see. But in this incredible chapter, I want to draw your attention that really at this point in time, the church is born right here in this chapter concerning the Gentiles. We've come to a point in time now where the church is about 10 years of age, and yet the gospel has not yet gone out to the Gentile world. And God has been using, as we've been studying, this vision that Peter had and this situation with Cornelius. But now this morning, we're going to see where the Gentiles truly come in to the church. And listen up. The Gentile really will become the part and parcel of the church during this church age or age of grace that you and I live in. And it's interesting to note, by way of introduction, that God used Peter, who was to be the apostle to the Jewish believer, and Paul was going to be the apostle to the Gentile believer, but yet God uses this morning Peter, the big apostle Jewish man, to reach the Gentile church. And that all fits into what we were studying last week and the week before, that God shows no partiality. That He's not divided, per se, in the church. Black, white, doesn't matter. God sees all of us in Jesus Christ. But the thought of a Gentile being saved in the Hebrew mind was just an absolute freak out. They couldn't imagine that a Gentile could really be born again. And yet it's alluded to many times in scriptures. You want to jot this down in the way of introduction to Acts 11. In Isaiah 49, verse 6, the scripture says, I will give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. That's all the way back in Isaiah 49, 6, that God was going to save Gentiles. So if you have any Jewish friends, then they might say to you, you have no right to talk about Yahweh, God of the Bible. You say, oh yes, yes I do, according to Isaiah 49, 6, God would save the Gentiles. And then in Hosea chapter 2, God told us there in the Old Testament, I will call them my people who are not my people. And to those who it was said of them, you are not my people, they shall be called children of the living God. And so that's very excellent. We need to understand that. But at this point in time in the church, even though it was 10 years old, the church had not yet understood that God had started a new, fresh work that would even include the Gentiles. There was that struggle to the Jewish believer who had become born again. But listen to this. I hope this blesses you as much as it blessed me. First of all, the Apostle Paul taught concerning the Gentile church that it was a great mystery that the Gentiles would be saved. In Romans 16, 25, Paul said, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, Gentiles, that is, that Gentiles would be saved. Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 6, Paul says there, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been made known by the Spirit of his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. Remember that. The Gentiles will be heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise of Jesus Christ. Well, what's the promise of Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit. Salvation dwelling in you this morning. That was God's promise. Here's another interesting point, and this is the area I'm getting into. It just really made me freak out with joy in studying for this. God the Father, you probably already know this, in Scripture reveals himself as being married to Israel, the nation Israel, God the Father. But in the New Testament, the Scripture declares that Jesus, his Son, is engaged to who? The church, or known in the book of Revelation as the bride of Christ. And as I looked at that, why is it that the Jewish believers that we're going to come across this morning had such a hard time receiving the Gentiles into the church? Why? When it was alluded to in Scripture in the Old Testament, they had the Old Testament. But you know what also? Check this out. Remember Boaz in the book of Ruth? Boaz was what? Jewish. A very Orthodox Jew. He was extremely wealthy. In fact, in the Hebrew language that Ruth was written in, it said that he was a wealthy man. The word means that he owned everything in the area that could be owned. We're talking wealth here. And we're talking a man that was also unmarried. He was not married. But Naomi comes from her land back to the area where Boaz is at, and she brings with her a daughter-in-law by the name of Ruth. Ruth was not a Jew. She was not Hebrew. Ruth was a Moabitess. She was a Gentile. But she told Naomi, you know what? Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. I'm not leaving you, Naomi. I'm going wherever you go. I love you and I love your God. So she goes, well, then come on, we're going home. She takes her home, and they're very poor, and especially Ruth, she's actually, once she comes into the area of Israel, she's technically, in a lot of respects, now a slave, extremely poor Gentile living with Naomi. But you know the story. They're out gleaning. It's harvest time, and it was customary and also legal that somebody could go into the field after the harvesters passed through, and they could glean some of the food to eat that had fallen. So Ruth is out there collecting food for Naomi. Boaz sees this, to be quite frank with you, in the Hebrew, it's the word a babe, I mean cutie. He sees this honey out there, and he says, whoa, who's that? And they said, well, you know what? Naomi brought her. She's a Moabite. She's Gentile. And Boaz is watching, and he walks over to a couple of his guys, and he says, hey, why don't you, like, accidentally spill a couple of bucket loads of grain for her, you know? So they spill it out, and she scoops it up, and she comes home and says, God's been so good to us, Naomi. Look, I have so much. Well, what happens is Boaz is showing her favors and showing her these overtures of grace and of love, and he winds up loving her, and he's looking at her and watching her, and he winds up falling in love with her, but she's a Gentile. But he wants to marry her. But there's somebody in between Ruth and Boaz. They can't get married because there's one called a Goel, a kinsman redeemer, who's in front of Boaz. So Boaz goes to the man and says, hey, I would like to have Ruth over here. And the guy says, well, go ahead and take her, man. I'm already married and I'd get in big trouble, and you can have her. So he takes the shoe off and goes through the customary deal, and he buys her. He purchased Ruth out of her poverty and then takes her to be his wife. She's a Gentile, he's a Jew. And yet they start to have children, and from Ruth comes Jesus Christ, having Gentile blood in him. Well, then there's a story also by the name of a young man, Isaac, whose father Abraham says to a servant who in that chapter is not mentioned, he turns to the servant and he says, go find a husband for our wife for my son, Isaac. So that servant gets up and he gets going. And his name is never mentioned in the search. And he goes through the land and he comes across a gal by the name of Rebecca, who is a daughter of a man who's a Gentile, even though he was Abraham's brother. Nahor was Abraham's brother. But he was not a Jew, he was a Gentile. Rebecca was a Gentile. Isaac marries Rebecca, but before that happens, this man who was sent out, his name is Eliezer, told to us in Genesis 15, whose name means comforter or helper. He goes and he meets up with Rebecca, a Gentile, and begins to give her gifts. And he says, you see how wealthy, you see how incredibly affluent my master is, and he'd like to marry you. And she goes, well, you know, let me think about this for a second. And about a second is all she thought about it. And he gives her rings and bracelets and gold and all kinds of stuff. And she says, I will go with you. And she turns to her family and says, sayonara, I'm out of here. And she goes to marry a man she has never seen in her life. Yet the helper, the comforter, Eliezer, promised her that he was a wonderful man. And she goes sight unseen. Ladies, would you do such a thing? And she sees Isaac up ahead. And it says there that Isaac grabs Rebecca, takes her into his mother's home. She had, of course, Sarah had died. And she, Rebecca, comforted him. Really, the word is captivated him during his mother's, or Isaac's loss of his mother. Get this. You know what Rebecca's name means? Rebecca's name means to captivate by beauty, but it comes from the root word to tie up the feet of the lamb. To tie up the feet of the lamb. When Rebecca saw Isaac, Isaac saw Rebecca, his heart was seized by her beauty and, so to speak, tied up. She's a Gentile. Isaac is a Jew. So Jesus Christ looks at you, the church, this morning, and your beauty that Jesus has given you by his shed blood ties up himself. He looks at you and says, man, what a beaut. What a beauty. Jesus, the Jew, the church, the Gentile, the bride of Christ, whose Holy Spirit has come to us, called what? The Parakletos, the Comforter, the Helper, who gives us gifts of the Holy Spirit, promising us a rendezvous sometime soon with our groom sight unseen. That is the entire theme of the Gentile church. Throughout Scripture, there are the snapshots of the Old Testament scene where a prominent Jew marries a poor Gentile girl, and that's us. And I give you that horrendous introduction to tell you that Acts 11 now brings to full view what had been alluded to in the Old Testament for so long. Verse 1. Now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God, and when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went into uncircumcised men and ate with them?" But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, and an object descending like a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. And when I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice answered and said to me from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done to me three times, and all were drawn up into heaven. And at that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me, 'Go to them, doubting nothing.' Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Listen, he will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. And then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift that he gave to us when we first believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should withstand God?" When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life." And so in verses 1 to 4, we see Peter's arraignment. He's going to get busted. He's just coming down from this great event. But you know what? Have you ever been to a retreat and come down the mountain? Isn't that funny how that happens? You're blessed up on the hill, you come down, and the house is blown up or burned down. Or if you're coming from a men's retreat or a woman's retreat, you get home and your spouse is like, "Don't you know what's been going on for all weekend?" And it's like, major quench. Man, Peter's riding high. He just saw the Holy Spirit poured out on Gentiles. He's freaking out. He's coming back. But check this out. Look at verse 1. "Now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea," specifically Jerusalem, "heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God." How did they hear that? There's something faster than a fax machine. It's called gossip. There's something more efficient than email. It's called gossip. For crying out loud, it happens all the time. Peter's coming down. He's probably preparing the message. "I can't wait to tell these guys. I can't wait to tell them what happened. Oh, Peter, come over here. We want to talk to you." "Oh, yeah, well, I want to talk to you too. We heard..." Now listen to this. Look in your scripture. It says in verse 2, "When Peter came to Jerusalem, those who of the circumcision contended with him." That word in the Greek means they drew lines of distinction. Saying in verse 3, "You went to uncircumcised men and you ate with them." Isn't that funny? They have nothing to say about, "You went to uncircumcised men and you preached the gospel." There's nothing wrong with that. "You went to uncircumcised men and you evangelized them." Nothing wrong with that. "You went to uncircumcised men..." Nothing wrong with it, until they heard that Peter had hung out in fellowship and ate with them. Remember last time, last week, they ate together. What a funny deal. These are born-again Jews filled with the Holy Spirit, Christians. But the transition hadn't equated in their mind yet. "Peter, you ate with Gentiles." And they're furious over that. Absolutely upset. Isn't this sad how dangerous And listen, it's prevalent in your mind and my mind as well, sad to say, how our smallness can affect God's immensity. God is so awesome. He's so encompassing. But you and I say, well, wait a minute. You went to that church? How could you go to that church? Hey, back off. Jesus died for them too. But you see, the Jewish mind hadn't thought of that. The Jewish believer couldn't conceive of having the Gentile near them. But in verse 2, as I mentioned, this word contend, it is the exact same word that is found in Acts 10:20. And that word we saw back then was doubting nothing. Remember the Lord said, Peter, go doubting nothing? It means don't draw any lines of distinction, Peter. That's exactly what these men are doing. They are drawing lines of distinction. And they're very, very upset with what's happening here. And so it says in verse 4, but Peter explained it to them. I have this circle in my Bible because he is actually realizing now I am appearing before court. And in my arraignment, I better have all my things lined up because they're going to be here accusing me. And I'm blessed by Peter's forethought here. Look what he says in verse 4. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning. Watch what happens. Verse 5, we see Exhibit A entering the courtroom, and that is the witness of the vision that we'll see in verses 5 to 11. This is his exhibit, lays it on the table. Okay, you guys, here's a story. I know this is really freaking you out, and it would have freaked me out too. God had to show me something, and here it is, verse 5. I was in the city of Joppa praying. You had to circle praying because the men listening to him were impressed by that. And in a trance, you got to circle trance. Because that word is used in the Old Testament of the Old Testament prophets that received communication from God. Peter is really getting to be quite a slick dude right here. Hey guys, listen, from the beginning, let's take it from the top. I was number one praying. So don't get on my case. Number two, I was in a trance. Just like the prophets of old. Number three, I saw a vision. And they're going,
The title Lord of All is probably used more often than understood. But we hope you have a greater understanding of the phrase after hearing this presentation. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Spirit-Filled Church. It's a look at the first 18 verses of the book of Acts, chapter 11, a part of church history that is a very pivotal point where Messianic Judaism spreads out into the Gentile nations. We'll continue with more of this presentation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Recently, here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in fact, on September 11th, quite obviously to commemorate the infamous date, we had three former Muslims speak. It was, as some have put it, electric. As you can imagine as well, security was beefed up quite a bit here at the church. Well, if you were not able to make it to this well-attended event, here's good news. The evening is now available on DVD. It's called Three Ex-Terrorists Speak Out, and it's yours for a gift of any size toward the radio outreach of Real Radio. Whether you call, click, or write, just remember the name, Three Ex-Terrorists Speak Out. You can read more about the DVD set at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Get in touch by telephone using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, you shine
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.